Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something that honestly sounds like science fiction.
It really does.
We're talking about studying human consciousness, but not through, you know, individual stories or anecdotes.
Right. We're talking about massive structured data sets.
And the project at the heart of this is called the Incarnation Matrix Project, or IMAP for short.
IMP. Yeah. And it is incredibly ambitious.
So the name alone, it suggests a huge scope, a real structure. Let's just jump right in and define it for everyone listening. What is this thing? What's the goal here?
Okay, so in essence, IMAP is a global anonymized consciousness mapping archive.
A consciousness mapping archive.
Think of it like a huge shared brain for all this accumulated spiritual wisdom. Its main mission is to take all these insights from deep regression techniques, specifically QHHT, quantum healing hypnosis technique.
Which we've talked about before.
Right. And it takes that wisdom, which right now is totally fragmented, and turns it into something you can actually study, something searchable, research grade.
So hang on. Instead of me as a researcher having to read like 1,000 different books about 1,000 different past life sessions, I can just look at aggregated data showing me the themes, the patterns, the common threads from tens of thousands of sessions at once.
That's it. Exactly. The goal is to get past the single story and see the hidden patterns, the underlying geometry of the soul's experience across lifetimes, timelines, even dimensions.
That is a massive concept.
It is. If you need one single analogy to really get the scope, IMP is basically the Human Soul Genome Project.
Wow.
But for consciousness, we're trying to map the fundamental operating code of our collective experience.
And the source material we're digging into today, this comes right from the project's founders.
Yeah.
From the foundational documents.
Yep. The conceptual design, the architecture, the potential impact, it's all there.
So we're really exploring that moment where, you know, deep spiritual exploration meets big data.
It's the institutionalizing of intuition in a way. The plan is to take what has always been this isolated anecdotal wisdom and turn it into a real coherent body of knowledge that anyone can access and study.
Okay, so let's unpack why this is even necessary. Yeah. I mean, consciousness work, hypnosis, it's been around for a long time. Why build this massive thing
right now?
What problem is it really trying to solve?
The core problem, and it's a big one, is isolation. And inaccessibility.
Isolation.
Yeah. Until now, all this profound wisdom you get from regression work, especially QHHT, it's been trapped. You know, a practitioner has this world-changing session with a client.
Right.
But that insight almost never leaves the room or their private notes. It just stays there.
So the knowledge is stuck in these little silos all over the world.
Exactly. It's anecdotal by nature. It's practitioner-bound. And that means you can't verify it, you can't cross-reference it at any kind of scale, researchers can't get to it, you can't run statistical analysis on it. It's just impossible to analyze properly.
Okay, let's make that more concrete. So if I'm a practitioner, and over, say, 20 years, 50 of my clients describe meeting the exact same kind of, I don't know, benevolent blue being, that's 50 amazing stories that are just locked in my filing cabinet.
That's it. IMP is designed to take your 50 blue being stories and connect them with every other practitioner's blue being stories everywhere.
And to really get why that's so important, we have to talk about Dolores Cannon, right?
Absolutely. She was the pioneer. She spent decades doing this, documenting thousands and thousands of clients. And because she had that sheer volume of data herself.
Just one person.
Just one person. She was one of the only people who could start to see the huge patterns, the recurring themes, this idea of volunteer waves, the shared galactic histories.
She was basically a human search engine for this stuff, a walking, talking data archive.
She was. But here's the crucial point. Only she had access to all that data. She was the analyst, the data center, the publisher, all in one.
And when she wasn't there to connect the dots anymore?
The ability to see those real-time collective trends, it stopped. You were just left with the books she'd already published.
So IMAP is trying to pick up that work, but with a networked global solution.
Yes. And that brings us to its primary purpose, the democratization of knowledge. It's designed to give the world what Dolores never had, a real-time, global, community-driven research tool that's always being updated.
That makes sense. Okay, before we get into the tech side of it, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Privacy.
Huge. Yes.
This material is deeply personal. For anyone listening who's concerned, we have to be super clear what exactly is in this database and what is absolutely 100% excluded.
Okay, let's draw a very clear line. What IMAP is. It's a massive anonymized database. It's all about coded session content, tagged, mapped, analyzed. The whole point is to find the recurring universal structures.
And what it is not.
Yeah. It is not a place for personal stories. No raw transcripts, no audio recordings, no therapy records tied to any individual person. The system is built from the ground up to filter out the personal story and only keep the universal stuff.
So we're hunting for the shared operating system, not the individual file saved on the desktop.
That's a great way to put it. We're looking for the structures that show up again and again. Things like common past life motifs or really detailed descriptions of off-planet civilizations.
Like the stories of Muldek that destroyed planet.
Exactly. Muldek is a perfect example. Or details about soul missions or that recurring theme of volunteer waves.
Okay, let's pause on that. For anyone who hasn't heard that term, volunteer waves, what's the general idea that IMAP would be trying to track?
It's this narrative that comes up a lot in sessions. It suggests that some souls here on Earth right now don't have a long history of Earth karma, that they actually volunteered to be here from other star systems or higher dimensions, specifically for this critical time of transition.
And they often report feeling like they don't belong here, or that life on Earth is really difficult.
Right. IMAP's job would be to track how often that narrative appears, how consistent the details are, what the messaging is. It's about taking these concepts from spiritual lore and giving them searchable categories.
And that applies to everything. Atlantis, Lemuria, all of it.
All of it. It's about applying a structural schema to the content of the subconscious mind, so we can finally apply some statistical rigor to what has, until now, only ever been anecdotal.
So that sets the stage perfectly. The mission is clear. Solve the problem of isolation. So how does the machine actually work? The whole project seems to rest on three core functions: collecting data, mapping it, and then revealing the patterns. Let's start with collecting.
Right. So the first hurdle with any global data set is consistency.
Of course.
If every practitioner just submits stuff in their own format, their own language, the data is useless. So standardization is everything. Practitioners have to submit short, anonymized summaries using a really consistent template-driven form.
And it has to be fast, right? These are busy people. They're not going to spend an hour on data entry after every session.
Exactly. It has to be quick. And the data they submit has to be surgically stripped of any personal identity. We're not after the life story. We're capturing the essential universal nuggets of information.
What kind of nuggets? What are these specific data points?
Okay, so first is the scenario type. Was it a past life on Earth? Was it an encounter with an interdimensional being? Or were they in that between lives state? That's a critical first sort.
Okay.
Then the setting, Earth-based off-planet or between lives. Then the specific beings encountered, which is key for cross-referencing lore, the overarching themes like planetary transition, karma resolution, that kind of thing. And crucially, they track the overall emotional tone.
Emotional tone, you mean like happy or sad?
More like, was the experience categorized as peaceful, fearful, or mixed unresolved?
That's fascinating. If you aggregate thousands of those, you could literally measure the collective emotional barometer of these experiences.
You absolutely could. Then we get to the wisdom part. The explicit messages from the higher self. The system asks for these as bullet points, not long dialogues, so we can search for consistent teachings. You know, our higher selves all over the world suddenly talking about forgiveness or energy work or something else entirely. The data will show us.
The ability to see what the collective higher self is advising humanity.
Mm.
That might be the most powerful spiritual tool ever conceived.
It has that potential, for sure. Then the summaries also capture any big transitions or transformations that happened, any future imagery the client saw. And finally, they code for specific soul roles and any evidence of those volunteer waves we talked about.
So all that uniform data is the foundation for the next stage.
Yeah.
Mapping the matrix.
Exactly.
So mapping is where this all comes to life. How does IMA take thousands of these nuggets and turn them into a coherent map?
So the system is designed to be a living, evolving map of consciousness. It's not just a database that stores things. It actively tags and connects patterns across multiple dimensions or axes. That's what makes it a real research tool.
Okay, let's slow down here. Walk me through it. Let's say a practitioner submits a summary. Client experienced a past life building a huge underground city that used crystal energy. Big responsibility, then some kind of catastrophe. Higher self message was about trusting the timing of a transition.
Perfect example.
Where does the system even start with that?
It starts with the temporal geographical axis. So it tags when the session was submitted and where the client lives in a very broad sense.
So like post-2023 North America.
Exactly. That lets us track if the memory of underground crystal cities is, say, popping up more in North America than in Europe over time.
Got it. Longitudinal data. What's the next axis?
The contextual axis. This is for validation, for filtering out bias. We tag things about the source, like the practitioner's level of experience and the generalized type of life. In your example, that would be a technological civilization-based life.
And why is that important?
Because a researcher could then filter the data. They could say, show me all the underground city memories, but only from practitioners with over 10 years of experience.
Oh, okay. That adds a huge layer of credibility. If two completely separate communities of experienced practitioners on different continents are submitting identical descriptions of these cities,
then that data point starts to look less like an anecdote and more like a real structural pattern.
Makes sense. What's next?
The content-specific axis. This is where we get into the lore. We tag the keywords: crystalline cities, inner earth, catastrophe collapse event. The higher self message gets tagged too. Themes of trust, planetary transition.
Okay, so we have where and when, the context of the source, and the specific story content. What about the fourth axis, the structural one?
The structural tags look at the deep architecture, the function of that life. So in our example, the client was a builder with immense responsibility. That gets a core tag, like soul mission role, stabilizer, architect. We'd also tag the karmic structure, karma focused on responsibility leadership.
So by tagging all four axes, you can do these incredibly complex searches.
Precisely. You can ask the system, show me all sessions since 2018 where a stabilizer architect role was identified. That also included a memory of a crystalline city collapse. And suddenly you found a structural archetype that would be totally invisible otherwise.
That's the real shift, isn't it? It moves the question from who was I to what function was I performing?
And critically, what are the universal lessons encoded in that function?
So the mapping creates the structure. Now for the payoff. Revealing patterns. This is the output. What tools does it use to pull out these big macroscopic insights?
This is where IMIC becomes what we call a global dashboard for the collective subconscious.
A global dashboard. I like that.
It uses powerful tool search, filters, visualizations, and maybe most importantly, AI clustering to find trends that you just can't see at the individual level.
AI clustering on consciousness data. That's a wild concept. So what can this dashboard actually show someone?
Well, first, the longitudinal data. You can instantly see what motifs are rising or falling over the years. Are we, as a collective, moving past old trauma resolution and focusing more on future planning? Say, a 70% jump since 2020. That trend line tells you something huge about where our collective focus is.
And what about those shared memories we talked about, like Atlantis?
You could track cross-session similarities. You could filter for every session that mentions Atlantis or Lemuria and see instantly if the descriptions of the architecture, the energy systems, the reasons for the collapse, are they consistent, regardless of who the client is or where they live.
So if thousands of people who've never met all describe the planning room between lives with the same geometric patterns,
that would provide extraordinary validation for the existence of that realm. It would establish a common ground for consciousness studies that just doesn't exist right now.
Okay, but I have to challenge this a bit. The AI clustering. Doesn't that risk just creating a massive confirmation bias loop? If you train an AI on data that's already tagged with volunteer or MALDEC, won't it just get really good at finding more examples of volunteer and MALDEC? How does it find something truly new?
That is a fundamental challenge, and it's a great question. The system is designed to address that. The key is its ability to flag unclassified high-density clusters.
Meaning
the AI isn't just clustering based on the tags the practitioners enter. It's also looking at the keywords and structural similarities in the narrative summaries themselves.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. Let's say the AI starts noticing a high correlation in sessions that describe both a thick purple atmosphere and a deep reverberating hum. But nobody used a standard tag like Mars or MALDEC. That becomes an unclassified cluster.
A new pattern.
A new emerging pattern. Researchers can then go in, manually review those summaries, and maybe create a brand new tag like purple atmospheric world that didn't exist before.
So the AI is a discovery tool, not just a confirmation tool. But it needs that human analysis to make sense of the outliers.
It's a symbiotic relationship. Machine pattern recognition and human interpretation, and that leads to maybe the most powerful output of all, identifying the archetypes of soul journeys.
We touched on this, but let's dive in. How does recognizing these archetypes change how we see our lives?
It shifts our entire focus from the story to the underlying function. Let's go back to that example. A technician on an off-planet facility managing energy grids, and a priest in ancient Lemuria managing crystal energy grids.
Totally different lives, separated by who knows how many years and light years.
Right. But the Matrix reveals the underlying soul role, the energy steward, the keeper of stability, recognizing that archetype changes how we see purpose. It suggests that the challenge of managing immense power is a universal soul lesson. The costume changes, but the curriculum is the same.
So if IMP can show that the same core mission roles, the healer, the witness, the architect, show up in wildly different settings, it's basically providing a unifying theory of purpose.
It validates that idea that our purpose isn't really defined by our job or our culture, but by the functional roles we play in the cosmic structure. It elevates the whole conversation.
Okay, moving from the conceptual to the practical, we have to talk about data integrity and privacy. I mean, without that, this whole project is a non-starter.
Completely. Without robust protocols here, it fails.
So for this to work, for people to trust it, the privacy has to be absolute. What are the non-negotiables?
The foundation is explicit client consent. Practitioners have to get clear, written consent saying this anonymized data can be used for research and teaching. The project is even pushing for a standardized consent form globally so everyone knows exactly what's being shared.
And once you have that consent, how do you guarantee it's anonymous?
The de-identification protocols are incredibly strict. No names, no cities, no unique life details that could possibly identify someone. If a client mentions, I don't know, a unique waterfall near their house, that detail is either removed or abstracted.
What about demographics, like age?
They only use broad ranges. So not your exact age, but an age range, like 26-35 or 51 plus. Same for geography. It's optional, but if it's used, it's continental. North America, Europe, they deliberately sacrifice that granular detail for security.
And just to be crystal clear, we're not talking about transcripts being public.
Never. The public-facing dashboard only contains the coded fields and the short, sanitized summaries. No raw transcripts, no audio, no direct quotes. And finally, there are clear scientific guardrails. This is for exploratory consciousness data, period. It explicitly prohibits any medical or psychological claims. It's a knowledge archive, not a clinic.
Okay, so let's dig into that core data model. What is the practitioner actually typing in?
Well, beyond the broad demographics, they capture one really key contextual point, the client's prior spiritual exposure.
Why is that important?
It's crucial for filtering. The categories are simple. New to this, some exposure, or longtime seeker. That helps researchers distinguish between a narrative that might be shaped by things the person has already read versus one that seems to come out of nowhere.
That makes a ton of sense. Well, what are the session's focus?
They capture that too. The practitioner's experience level, and most importantly, the main reason the client was there, was about life purpose, health, planetary changes, ET contact. A researcher can then ask really specific questions like, when clients come in for health, how many of their sessions end up dealing with past life trauma versus something else?
Now let's get to the fun part. The content coding, the lore, the civilization tags.
Right, this is where the patterns really emerge. The list of tags is standardized. For scenario types, you have things like past life on Earth, past life off planet, future Earth, parallel timeline, between life state.
And what about the civilizations? Atlantis, Lemuria.
The civilization tags are the cornerstone. There are standardized tags for Atlantis, Lemuria, Maldek, Mars, Inner Earth, Waterworld, crystalline cities. A practitioner can add custom tags, but the system relies on that standardized list for the big picture analysis.
So if a client describes a city powered by giant crystals, the practitioner just clicks the crystalline city tag, and that data point immediately joins all the others like it from around the world.
That's exactly how it works. And they do the same for beings encountered, ET humanoids, angelics, guides, and so on. So you can create this really sophisticated, searchable fingerprint for every session.
And how is the story part, the narrative, actually captured?
It's a short narrative summary, 3 to 10 sentences. It's public-facing and completely neutral. Something like, client experienced being a structural architect in an underground civilization. Higher self emphasized the need to reconcile technology with spiritual integrity. That's paired with a few bullet points of the key messages from the higher self. It gives you the useful info, but the personal identity is totally shielded.
Okay, we've covered the what and the why. But the biggest hurdle here seems to be the how. I mean, data entry is boring. How do you get thousands of practitioners around the world to consistently do it?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? And the planners knew it. Practitioners will not do this unless it is dead simple. If it adds 30 minutes to their day, the project is over.
So what's the solution?
An optional, secure AI assistant.
Okay, tell me more about that. An AI that helps write the entry. How does that work? And what about the security risks?
The idea is to cut out the most boring part, translating messy session notes into all those coded fields and the clean summary. The practitioner can securely paste their raw private notes into the system. The AI, which has been trained specifically on QHHT terminology and lore,
right,
instantly processes that text.
And what does it spit out?
It autofills everything. It suggests the civilization tags. It identifies the emotional tone. It drafts the short narrative summary. It even pulls out bullet points for the higher self messages. The practitioner just has to review, maybe edit a little, and click approve. It turns a 20-minute job into a 3-minute job.
That's the key to making it scale. It has to be that easy. But we're back to the bias question. If the AI is trained on existing QHT lore,
it's going to find what it's been trained to find. You're right. That's the core risk. The whole thing relies on the practitioner being the final human editor. They're told to challenge the AI's suggestions. If the AI tags something as volunteer wave, but it doesn't quite fit, the practitioner corrects it. The system is designed to learn from those corrections over time.
So it's a feedback loop. AI suggests, human corrects, AI learns. And what about the security of pasting raw notes into an AI?
That's a huge infrastructure question. The project mandates a totally secure, encrypted environment. The raw text is purged the second the AI is done abstracting the data from it. Zero long-term retention of private notes. Only the final coded output remains.
So, assuming this all works and the data starts pouring in, where does the public actually see all this?
That's the public face. The QHHT Atlas. It's a read-only website where anyone, a researcher or just a curious person, can go and search the aggregated data. You can filter by theme, civilization, soul role, time period, and see these big aggregated charts.
Give me an example of a chart someone might see.
You'd see things like dynamic co-occurrence maps. Imagine a chart showing how often the tags New Earth, ET contact, and volunteer have appeared together over the last 10 years. You could see if those ideas are becoming more connected in our collective subconscious.
So it's kind of like a spiritual IMDb.
A spiritual IMDb, or RSIF, yeah. Structured enough to be cited in a paper, but intuitive enough for anyone to just browse and discover what's happening in the evolution of consciousness.
Okay, so let's zoom out for the final piece here. We've built the concept, we've gone through the tech. What is the ultimate vision for IMAP? What is it supposed to become?
At its heart, the project is designed as a living continuation of Dolores Cannon's work.
To honor that legacy.
Exactly. She always said, this knowledge belongs to the world. IMAP is the tool she would have wanted to manage it all. It's making her life's work scalable.
And long term, what roles will it play for future researchers?
Well, it'll be a definitive historical record of this awakening era we're in. A time capsule. It'll be a scientific map of incarnational cycles. For academia, it becomes this indispensable reference, a longitudinal data set that tracks collective shifts for decades.
So it provides the solid ground for research that goes way beyond just anecdotal books.
Way beyond. The patterns it reveals will be the backbone for future books, for PhDs, for new teachings, all built on this empirical data.
But the vision is even bigger than that, isn't it? The planners want this to create a whole new field of study.
That's the ultimate ambition. By providing this consistent, structured data source, the goal is for IMAP to establish the first formal discipline of soul pattern analysis.
Soul pattern analysis.
Think about it. We've had psychoanalysis, behavioral analysis, but never structured soul pattern analysis. It's a whole new thing.
Which would require a whole new academic language, a new methodology.
It does. A new lens for understanding the human experience. One that's rooted in statistical data, not just observation or testimony. It would allow us to identify and understand the functional archetypes of existence across time and space.
Which brings us back to the name itself.
The Incarnation Matrix Project, IMAP. The name is very deliberate. It's this cosmic academic hybrid. Incarnation Matrix sounds spiritual and vast. Project sounds grounded, structured, scientific. It positions itself as a credible institution that people will cite in the future.
You can just picture this citation in a paper 20 years from now.
You can. According to longitudinal trends in the Incarnation Matrix Project, the bridge builder soul role peaked between 2030 and 2040. It gives consciousness research the empirical foundation it's always lacked.
It moves the conversation from, does this even exist? To, okay, it exists. What are its structural characteristics at scale?
It's the marriage of the technical and the transcendental.
Well, this deep dive into the architecture of IMA has been absolutely mind-bending. I think if we had to summarize the key takeaway, it's this. The Incarnation Matrix Project is designed to be the bridge between isolated, anecdotal spiritual wisdom and rigorous, scalable consciousness research.
The goal is to hold up a real-time mirror to our collective subconscious, so we can finally see ourselves, our history, and maybe our shared mission all reflected back to us through data.
And that scale, that vision, leaves us with one final provocative thought to take away.
It does.
What's the final question? The ultimate goal.
If the Incarnation Matrix Project works, if it successfully maps the evolution of our collective subconscious, and we start to see clear numerical evidence of a shared purpose, let's say a 90% consensus across thousands of sessions on the urgent need for global environmental healing, what is the first major collective action humanity will take when that ultimate shared planetary mission is definitively revealed by the data? And more importantly, how will we justify not acting on it?